All right, welcome to March 4th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And on the show, I cover a lot of ground very quickly, so please have your pencils ready. And be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson and let me know what your take is on today's show. Remember, this is not a political science class, folks. It's just history. History's already controversial enough, and it doesn't need my help. This is why I want you to get involved and let me know what you think. So thanks for that.
And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flag if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts. And begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Booyah, America! And now on to today's headlines, Big Inauguration Day.
But before we get into the inauguration, I want to talk about some of America's leaders who did not become president,
such as the great triumvirate,
Clay, Calhoun, and Webster,
who discussed slavery on this day in 1850,
and then to the inaugurations.
We'll talk about FDR's first inauguration, Andy Jackson will throw a big party at the White House for his inauguration, and William Henry Harrison's deathly boring speech. So, let's get started now, shall we?
1850. Clay, Calhoun, and Webster debate about slavery. But that was nothing new, really. The first sons of the Founding Fathers were indeed Julius Caesar, Pompey, and Crassus of their day, even though none of them were presidents. The Great Triumvirate, as this trio was called, Daniel, Black Dan Webster of New England, opponent of the War of 1812, one of the greatest speakers of his time, and a Federalist who supported industrialization of the North. On the west side of the United States was Senator Henry Clay from Kentucky, one of the greatest speakers to never become president. John Calhoun represented the South, in particular the right to own slaves, and the author of the Nullification Crisis, which gave the states the right to ignore federal government laws. When you think about it, your average American might be more likely to recognize quotes from Webster, Clay, or Calhoun than the presidents of their day, John Tyler, Millard Fillmore, or Chester Arthur. All three men served as Senate, Secretary of State, and in the House at some point before the Civil War. Clay, the oldest, was the first to serve in the House in 1806 under the Whig Party. Calhoun admired Clay, and the two agreed on how to handle what would become the War of 1812. Webster was elected to Congress in 1813 and was an opponent to the War of 1812 and began debating Clay and Calhoun on how to deal with the aftermath of the war and other issues like the Second Bank of the U.S. and the Tariff of 1816. The trio wouldn't actually become alliances until Andrew Jackson came into office during the 1820s and 30s. Old Hickory Jackson's replacements weren't considered as strong as Jackson. So, the Great Triumvirate, who represented the three parts of the country, debated bitterly over slavery and other issues. Clay's American system paved the way for American central banks. Calhoun's staunch position justified the existence of a Confederate States of America in speeches that opposed big government, which influence American speakers to this day. Webster's speech influenced the Gettysburg Address. People would be lucky to pay admission to watch these three men debate, and the longer the debate, the better. Even though they would go hours long, viewers would carefully hang on to every word said. But this is 1850 now, and a new generation of orators was already beginning to take their places. Stephen Douglas, Jefferson Davis, and William Seward. The Great Triumvirate's time was up, as John Calhoun would die March 31st, 1850, right after giving a speech of his concerns of the Compromise of 1850. 2 years later, in 1852, Henry Clay died, and Daniel Webster would pass on as well a year later, 1853. Which is why this day, March 4th, 1850, as these men spoke together for the last time, it was not just another day of debating between the three.
Big Inauguration Day. I know we're all used to inaugurations happening in January, but until the 20th Amendment was added to the Constitution in 1933, inaugurations took place on March 4th. So here we go. 1933, FDR is inaugurated for his first term. Yes, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, FDR boldly and proudly exclaimed on the east wing of the White House on this rainy and blustery day. He outlined his plan for the New Deal, which was Roosevelt's attempt to make capitalism work for everybody and not just for those at the top. 1829, the craziest party the White House ever had. Old Hickory Andrew Jackson had just beaten old man eloquent John Quincy Adams in one of the dirtiest campaigns in presidential history. The campaign was full of ruthless political attacks as well as personal ones. Leave Rachel alone already. I mean, Andy had killed over insults to his wife, Rachel, but the insults just never stopped. In fact, Rachel died a month after the election, and Jackson blamed his political enemies. But getting back to the party, on this day in 1829, he delivered his inaugural speech and continued a tradition Thomas Jefferson started back in the day, the open house at the White House. Americans of all walks of life needed no invitation. They could show up, stand in line to hopefully shake hands with the president, maybe even come inside the White House for some punch and desserts. All great and peaceful until the whiskey came out. Legend has it, floods of people ransacked the White House, digging cheese into the carpets with their boots, smashing china and chandeliers, standing on furniture with muddy shoes, and causing mayhem. The White House became Animal House. Old Hickory just bailed on the party and escaped through a back door and supposedly checked into a local hotel. The only way to get the mob outside the White House was by moving the whiskey outside on the lawn. I know how hilariously bad that story must sound, but according to WhiteHouseHistory.org, actual damage to the White House that day was trivial. Jackson, America's first Democrat president, of course, was succeeded by his Secretary of State, Martin Van Buren, and following that administration, the Whigs came back into power, and so did Tippecanoe and Tyler too. Which segues us right into 1841. President William Henry Harrison gave his inaugural speech alongside his running mates and new VP, John Tyler. Harrison was a great fighter in the War of 1812, as well as against Tecumseh and Tippecanoe, hence his nickname, Old Tippecanoe. But on this day in 1841, the Cincinnatus of the West delivered a nearly two-hour speech in a snowstorm. And he didn't even wear a jacket. Friends, if you have trouble falling asleep at night, check out his speech. You can find it on Bartleby.com, B-A-R-T-L-E-B-Y, and look for the speech by President William Harrison. Here's the first sentence of that speech, just to give you an idea. Called from a retirement which I had supposed was to continue for the residue of my life to fill the chief executive office, blah, 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 blah. 2 hours of this. A month later, Harrison became the first president to die in office as pneumonia from the snowstorm finally got over him. You might say his speech bored him to death. And that, my friends, is your March 4th recap on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Be sure to tune into tomorrow's program. We'll talk about the Boston Massacre, Jimmy Carter's Dial a President, and a British tribute to America in rock news in regards to 9/11. So until then, be sure to check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes. Make sure you're following me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. See you tomorrow.